In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 34, 523, 1937. The virtue of order is admirable. The virtue of order binds itself to all. The virtue of order gives itself to all, and with its peaceful and dominating waves, it takes and appropriates the strength of creation and that of the saints that are in heaven, even the very divine strength itself, and she makes it her own. This is Louisa. Now, this is, first of all, the Blessed Mother. She's mother and queen of heaven and earth. This is the life of Jesus. And now they've given it to a human born of original sin, Louisa Picaretta. And listen to what it says. It binds itself to everyone, gives itself to everyone. With its peaceful and dominating waves, it takes the appropriate strength of creation and the saints that are in heaven, even the very divine strength itself, and makes it her own. Remember what I told you about the command prayer? That's what Jesus taught Louisa. And this is why our prayer is so powerful. It's so amazing, because this is what happens when we pray in the divine will. Her manners, orderly and peaceful, are so penetrating and insinuating that everyone lets her operate. More so, since she has given herself to everyone, past, present, and future. She has kept nothing for herself, therefore it is right that everyone give themselves back to Louisa. So she feels within herself that divine peace, the divine joy, the divine happiness of the celestial dwellings of heaven. All feel united and bound with an inseparable union, because what my divine will unites is not subject to separation. We're getting a glimpse of how powerful the command prayer is. This is what Jesus and Mary taught Louisa, and now Louisa, through her writings, is teaching us. Volume 35, 926, 1937. Whenever our will wants us to do an act or give a gift, everyone and everything bends their knees to do what the divine will wants. So again, we're entering into when Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. Now, what are we asking for? Things for ourselves? No. It's for the kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven, so everybody can participate in God. And when all have prayed, even our divine attributes, we confirm the gifts. So Jesus is waiting for mankind to pray in the divine will. And that's us. Each time the soul prays, the soul has such power that all of our things pray. Our divine attributes pray, because the gift that she has received, the right over everyone and everything. What cannot be obtained with this gift of prayer. So you can see that when God put us in this situation, he knows what's happening. And he said, give you the power of prayer that I did not give to the saints. See, what's happening now is we're in more of a difficult time than ever before. Why? The kingdom is coming. Everything is wrapping up. And what God is saying to us is, get ready to receive this kingdom. And I'm going to show you how and why you're going to receive it. But you need powerful prayers. So the prayers of the saints are powerful, but they're not as powerful as what Jesus and Mary have taught Louisa. Jesus and Mary basically show Louisa how to pray the way they prayed. And this is what's so astonishing. So it says very clearly, what cannot be obtained with this gift of prayer? It can be said that the heavens move, and that our very being, God says, feels enthralled and bound, and it surrenders. It says fiat, because we've entered into the fiat. 5:35, 10:19, 19:37. We look at the prodigy of our divine will that has overwhelmed Luisa with its power, making of Luisa the repetition of our own life. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? And oh, how happy, how enraptured we triune God remain, because we find in Luisa the sanctity that resembles us triune God, image and likeness. Our divine love that loves us, the intelligence that comprehends us, our power and goodness that moves us to love mankind through the bonds of our sweetness, we recognize ourselves in Luisa. Finding the work of creation as we triune God want it to be. That was the life of Adam. That's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. When Adam lost it, Jesus and Mary came to earth. Why? To give back to mankind this abundant life. And through the Holy Church, through the sacraments and sacramentals, we have begun the ABCs, Jesus says, of learning how this is about. And now that we're at the end, and I say the end because that's what John Paul II said. He said, St. Paul said we are at the end of time. So then John Paul II, you know, jokingly said, so we are at the end of the end of times. And it's true. We are at the end of the end of times. And what we have to understand is the kingdom is coming. The fulfillment of their Father is going to happen. True love, when it is perfect, begins from oneself. The true model is the Most Holy Trinity. My celestial Father loved himself, and his love he granted his Son, Jesus, who's speaking. So he loved himself and his Son, and I, Jesus, his Son, loved myself and the Father, and from this love the Holy Spirit proceeded. In this loving of himself, the Heavenly Father generated one single love, one single power, one single sanctity, and so forth, and he bound the inseparable unity of the three divine persons. This is the life that our God wants us to begin to enter into. So he gave us the how and the why this is going to happen in the book of heaven. 5:35, 10:25, 19:37. Now Mary, the Holy Virgin, possessed her own humanity, in which she bound the whole humanity, almost like limbs to her body. And we, for the love of her, seeing in the Blessed Mother the whole of humanity, as soon as she was conceived, we gave the first kiss of peace to all humanity. I'm telling you, the mouth doesn't work right. We gave the first kiss of peace to all humanity, constituting it the heir of our divine heiress, with the exception of some ungrateful ones who would not want to receive it. So there are some Catholics, there are some Christians who do not want the Blessed Mother. Oh, she's just a woman. No, she's Theotokos, Mother of God. And what God gave to her is so astonishing. This is what he says. She's the divine heiress. He says, and seeing then how certain it is that the kingdom of our divine will must come upon earth, there is already a creature who inherited it. And since she who inherited it is a creature, all creatures now acquire the right to be able to possess it because of the Blessed Mother. 5:35, 10:31, 19:37. Now these acts cannot be without producing a great divine glory for our Supreme Majesty, as well as an immense good for all of mankind. And since these are acts done together with creatures, with the creature, with Luisa, they operate as God does, and they bind God and the creature, God to giving and Luisa and us to receiving. So as God breathed this, the rule of God, that breath of God into Adam breathed it in, and then he breathed it back, the divine I love you back to God, God in him doing it. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us to begin to allow God to reign in us. And how glorious is this? How magnificent is this? We're nobodies. We're nothings. Yet God has saved us predestine us to live at this time. 5:35, 11:20, 19:37. Now, don't you see how beautiful it is to live in the divine will? To have its power in your power. That contains such power and virtue that no one shall be able to resist it. This is what Jesus is saying to Louisa and to us. And when this love shall have invested everything in everyone, since it is the love of a creature who has lived in our fiat that carries with her the bond of the human family, we shall let ourselves be conquered. We shall tear down, listen to this, all the obstacles that shall have our kingdom, so that we shall have our kingdom on the face of the earth. Therefore, pray. Again, use the command prayer. Make use of all the things in order to ask me, God, for my divine will to come to reign on earth as it is in heaven. See, he's teaching us this so that we can pray one with Louisa for this kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven. 5:35, 1:7, 19:38. So the living in our divine will serves us, triumph God, as refuge, as theater for our divine works, as refreshment for our divine love, and requital for all of creation. There is nothing that we, triumph God, do not find in Louisa. And now he wants to see it in us. Therefore, we love Louisa so much that we feel obliged to give Louisa whatever she wants, just like her mother. Our Lady lived in the divine will. As he said, we heard, whatever she wants, God's going to give. Now the newborn, the firstborn, whatever she wants, we will give whatever she wants. What does she want? She wants the kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we echo with the same prayer. For each additional act that she does in our divine will, Louisa binds us more and adds more chains. We will never be separated from God again. 5:35, 1:24, 19:38. Now you must know, again, a command from Jesus, that the chains of my love made me depart from heaven and my incarnation. I left in order to descend upon earth in search of my children and my brothers, to form for them with my love so many prisons of love as to make it impossible, listen to this, for them to leave. It's going to be impossible for us to leave God. But while I departed, I remained in heaven because my love becoming my prison found me within the celestial regions. Now, having completed my office down here, I, Jesus, departed for heaven, and I remained in prison inside the sacramental host. You see, by departing for heaven or remaining on earth, my life spread in many sacramental hosts and shall not be useless down here. With certainty, I shall form the kingdom of my divine will. Our job is to be with our Eucharistic Lord. Spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Fall in love with our Eucharistic Lord. Why? He says, because I'm going to certainly form the kingdom of my divine will. We want to help him accomplish what he has planned. I can say that each sacramental life lives also a down payment that I make for all of you, sufficient to secure my kingdom for my children. But to these many deposits of mine, my love wanted to add the deposit of a single simple creature of intimate, so as to reinforce the bonds between creator and creature, therefore accomplishing and fulfilling the kingdom of our divine will in the midst of creatures. So Louisa is that simple creature who carries the marks of God's imprisonment. Why? Because she was imprisoned in her bed. And the things that we go through, each of us goes through something difficulty spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. God is saying, this is a sign of my life on earth. Whatever you're going through, it's Jesus that's there. And we console Jesus by adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him, and worshiping him. 5:35, 3:22, 19:38. Now, my daughter, until guilt begins in the creature, everything is my divine will. But as guilt begins, so do the tears and pains of the celestial mother. Oh, how it cries over its child, but it does not leave him. It's, listen to this. It's love binds it to live in that creature in order to give her life. And although it feels its divine life being as though suffocated, it may not even known or loved, the love of my divine will is so great that it follows her life, regardless of any offense, to make a surprise of love and save its child. See, Jesus knows what's going on. Jesus is aware of all that's happening around us. And he says, my love is so great that it follows your life, regardless of any offense. We go to confession to be absolved by the priest. But, he says, to make a surprise of love to save its child. God is going to save us. He has redeemed us, and now he wants to sanctify us. Great things are right around the corner. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Our job is to trust in him, because that's the final devotion he gives to the church before he returns. 536, 510, 1938. Now you must know, again, this is a command from Jesus, that between the Father and child, there are permanent bonds. Nobody can deny the rights of the Father and the rights of the child, either in the supernatural or in the natural order. Therefore, as a father, I, Jesus, feel the obligation to make heir of my goods, love and sanctity, to the one, to Louisa, and those linked to Louisa. So solemnly declare to her to be my daughter, and to us to be children of God, the little children of the Holy Divine Will, to the extent that I kept her written in my heart. And God says he writes us in his heart. Now, this is something that's very, very important. Jesus is going to do this. Jesus is in the litany of Jesus. It's Jesus, Father of the age to come. That's why he says, therefore, as a father, I feel the obligation. Jesus, Father of the age to come. Volume 36, 517, 1938. Didn't we form the marvelous enchantment of the whole creation from nothing? Wasn't creation formed from nothing that we created, that we created so many harmonies up to our very image in the creation of Adam? My daughter, if creation had to give us only what is spiritual, that would have been very little. Instead, by giving us also its natural acts, it can always give. So when we breathe in, if you want to say all of creation and all of redemption, we can give back to God what is God's forever. We can be in continuous relation and our bond never breaks, more so since small things, breathing, moving, helping oneself and little personal things are always available within reach, available for the little and for the great, for the ignorant and the learned, that they never end. My good daughter, my divine love wants to be tied more and more to the creature. The more truths that it manifesting regarding my divine will, the more bonds I put between God and herself. So the truths, manifestations, the promises that God gives, we're getting closer and closer to God. In manifesting the truth, my love is preparing the marriage between God and the soul. That's why, we wear the ring. If you haven't bought a ring yet, buy a ring and ask Jesus what kind of a ring you want, what kind of ring that he wants you to have. Go shopping for a ring. I mean, if you have an old ring around, you can say, I want to use this one. The reason is God is proposing to you. You have to understand this. It's not just for nuns. God wants everyone to be his bride. God wants each and every one of us to be his bride. And that's why he says, this is what he has planned. He says, it's this marriage. He says, my love is preparing the marriage between God and the soul. The more it manifests, the more pomp, the magnificence this marriage will have. So the more that you're reading, the more that you're studying the Book of Heaven, the more your marriage is going to be unbelievable between God and you. You have to understand. When you walk into a church and you genuflect in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you're saying, you're my spouse. and I adore you, and I love you, and I praise you, and I thank you, and I bless you. You just don't bounce off your knee. You have to, when you bless yourself in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I belong to you, Triune God. We have to begin to understand this isn't just super, this is supernatural. He wants us to begin to live this abundant life. He says, the more it manifests, the more you read, the more pomp and magnificence this marriage shall have. Would you like to know what happens then? My truths, my manifestations, my knowledges, my promises shall be like a dowry to the soul needed in order to marry God. To get to know the one who lowers himself and even ties himself only for love in the bond of marriage. My truths touch the creature over and over. They mold her to new life and they return her to the beauty of our image and likeness, the resemblance from which she was created, and impress on her the kiss of an inseparable union. God isn't 1,000 miles away anymore. He's right with us if we wish, if we want. And you could be as close to God as you want or as you wish, as you pray for. And Jesus is showing us how and why this is going to happen. 536, 612, 1938. We long for our children who shall live in our divine will. That's us. God, the Triune God longs for us. He just doesn't want saints. He wants the little children of the holy divine will who are one with him in his image and likeness. We long for our children who shall live in our will to make ourselves known on earth, since it shall be their teacher of the new sciences of their creator. And shall make them divinely beautiful, divinely wise, divinely holy, divinely noble, according to the knowledge that they acquire. And the more that you know these truths that you acquire, the more that you know these promises that you acquire, you begin to live it. We await them in our celestial court to inundate them with our new divine joys, our new divine beauties, our new divine happinesses. And we haven't been able to give to mankind until now because of Louisa. And since in heaven, all the blessed are bound together as a family, loving each other in perfect way, they all participate in the glory, in the joy of these children. Not as direct glory and joy, but an indirect way, thanks to the bond of love among themselves. You see what he's saying here about the saints? All will participate in the glory and the joy of these children, the little children of the holy divine will, but not in a direct glory and a direct joy as they possess. Gotta be quiet. He says, not as in a direct joy and glory as they possess, but an indirect way, thanks to the bond of love among themselves. So God has saved the best for last. He says the saints will circle the Son, S-U-N, of God, in praising him and glorifying him and worshiping him. The children of the divine will enter into the Son of the divine will. Will participate in, with, through, and for God, as God participates in, with, through, and for the little children of the holy divine will. This is astonishing. This is God's image and likeness. Volume 36, 724, 1938. What doesn't our divine will let us find in the soul who lives in it? So what don't we find in Louisa? He says, it makes us find divine love with which we created the wind, created the air, created the sea, the tiny little flower in the field, everyone and everything we find in Louisa. It gives us back this love redoubled, and we redouble again in this love with which we created all things. God finds everything in Louisa. Our love then makes feast. Why? It's the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. This is what God is finding. Finally! Our love then makes feast, feeling love returned, and it prepares new love surprises and forms the operating creation in the creature. This love binds all of heaven and earth. It flows everywhere and becomes like cement, reuniting the division caused by the lack of love between God and Adam. Vine 36:8-15, 1938. Therefore, the glory of this queen, Our Lady, our Blessed Mother, is insuperable because Our Lady possesses our operating divine will. Our Lady has that has the virtue of forming in Our Lady, oh, I'm telling you, eternal and infinite acts. How could we, Triune God, resist and not give the Blessed Mother anything she wants? It is our own will that she asks for what Our Lady wants, tying us with eternal bonds so that we can refuse the Blessed Mother nothing. My daughter, her beauty is unreachable. See what God is teaching us about Mary? Our Lady, it enchants, her beauty enchants us. It charms us. It conquers us. Her love is such that Our Lady offers herself to everyone, loving everyone, leaving behind her oceans of love. She can be called Queen of Love, Winner of Love, because she loved much. And through love, she won her God. So he says, you must know this, that by doing his human will, Adam broke the bonds with his creator and with all created things. And by the power of our fiat that Our Lady possesses, this heavenly queen tied her creator back to the creatures. Finally, there was a human who could do this. Theotokos, Mother of God, tied all beings together, united them, but put them back in order, divine order. With her love, she gave new life to the human generations. So 2,000 years later, Jesus and Mary begin to talk their life to this little newborn, Louisa. And now we have the opportunity to read, study, and put it into practice. This is a new beginning for all creation. 5:36-10:30-1938. What wouldn't we make of this creature who lives in our divine will? So now they're talking about Louisa. Louisa has the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. What wouldn't we make of her who lives in our divine will now? She makes of us the kiss of forgiveness. To make her happy, we say, poor daughter, you are right. You are ours and belong also to them. You feel in you the bonds of the human family. Therefore, you would want what we that we forgive everybody. So Louisa would always say, let me take upon myself the sufferings of the world so that you, Lord, would forgive everyone so that the kingdom can be established. She took upon herself suffering. She wanted suffering. Jesus and Mary suffered the most, but the newborn was crucified every day. Jesus says, I crucify you, Louisa, every day. She says this. Jesus says, my daughter, Louisa, you must know that as the creature recognizes our divine will, now God's speaking to us, as we recognize our divine will, as we love the divine will, as we want to make our life in the divine will, so she pours into her God, and God pours into her. So there's this mutual exchange that starts taking place between, as it took place with Louisa, now it's taking place with us. Little by little, the fullness of it will come at that day. Jesus says, when that great day happens, the world is going to shake and shudder when that happens. And that's in the book of Revelation. It's nothing to be afraid of. Well, Our Lady does say it's going to be bad for most, but it'd be good for few. Hopefully, we are the few that are embracing what God wants, getting rid of our human misery to live in God's holy divine will. He says, with this pouring from both sides, God makes the creature his own and making her take part in all God's acts, resting in her, feeding her, making her grow more and more in his acts, and the creature makes God her own. That's what we're doing now as we read and study. We're learning how to do this. How can you be miserable if you're learning how to do this? Feeling himself everywhere, taking her sweet rest with the one she loves, who forms her life. That's what's happening with us right now. God is reforming our life, not only in a saintly, good, and holy way, that's volume 1 through volume 10, but to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's volume 11 through volume 19. But not only that, but to return to the divine inheritance of the Father, that's volume 20 through volume 36. We're learning this little by little. This is the great thing. Little by little, it's happening. God is all for her. God is all for us. We begin to understand this Catholic life. We begin to understand this universal life. We begin to understand the love of God. We want to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. We want to look at him in the monstrance. Again, it's not a place to be reading or praying. It's a place to be falling in love with God. And I know that might sound strange at first. St. Teresa says, if you can't fall in love with God, then read something, a paragraph, and then focus on God. Look at God. Praise God. Love God. Glorify God. Worship God. How do you fall in love with God? It's by falling in love with God. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for each and every one of us to begin to live the life that Adam lost, to begin to live the life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's what God's waiting for. We feel her bond with all created things. That's why, again, when you do your prevenient act and your actual acts, fuse yourself not only with the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not only with a reflection of the Trinity on earth, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. See, the Father, if you read volume 17, May 4th, 1925, Jesus says, the Father wanted his reflection on earth, and under the paternity of the Father is the paternity of Mary. Under Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. Under the Holy Spirit is Louisa, and the souls linked to Louisa. That's the second Pentecost. That's going to make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket to what's coming. That's why everything's falling apart. God, the kingdom's coming. God is going, okay, we're going to close this door. We're going to open the next door. It's a new era. It's really a new era that's already begun. It's a new era that's begun for the souls who are reading, studying, and putting to practice the truths. Our Lord's got great things coming. Amazing things coming. And all that he's asking of us to do is, can you give your fiat to what I'm going to do? It's God that's going to do it. And he's got it all planned. So what is he doing? He's saying, this is what the saints have done. This is what we've learned in the history of the church. That's sunlight spring. This is what God is doing with the saints, and we've learned it. We studied it. He says, now I want you to learn and study the final battle that's coming. You're going to need different weapons because, see, the church isn't going through one heresy at a time. All the heresies of the church are coming against the church. All the heresies against the church are coming again. It's a full attack inside and outside. I mean, when you really look at it, God's going to say, they think they're going to win. You know, it's like some other people think that they're going to win. God wins. God wins. So what is God doing? He's saying, I'm going to give you powerful prayers. I'm going to give you a new way of living. Again, that's what John Paul II said at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. We're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. That's what's coming. Great things are right around the corner. So Jesus says this in volume 36, 1130, 1938. Furthermore, each act done in my divine will is a messenger of peace that leaves the earth and goes to heaven. So every act that you do in the divine will, I'm going to sit back maybe. There you go. Every act that we do in the divine will is, he says, a messenger of peace. To what? To the Father. Father, we want what you want. Jesus has come as our Savior, our Redeemer, as the new Adam. Mary came as our mother and queen, the new Eve. Now we want this abundant life to come back. We want to live in the king, in your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So it's, what is happening is this is so beautiful what Jesus is saying. Each act done in my divine will. So what's an act? Jesus breathe in my breathing. You take a breath. It's Jesus breathing in your breathing. You feel like you're breathing, but Jesus takes us at our word. Your heart beats, boom. It's Jesus beating in our heart beating. He takes us at our word. When you walk, Jesus walk in my walking. When you gaze, Jesus gaze in my gazing. When you listen, Jesus listen in my listening. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to go back to your image and likeness. And that's what God is waiting for. So he says, every act that you do in the divine will is a messenger of peace that leaves the earth and goes to heaven. It comes to bring peace between heaven and earth. That's the kingdom. Every single word said in my divine will carries the bond of peace, and the one who comes to live in it receives as prime good the bond of peace between herself and us. Excuse me. So the first one is Luisa. Now us linked to Luisa, we're learning how to do this as Jesus taught Luisa. Again, this is a great time to be alive. And a magnificent time to be alive. It says very clearly, she feels as if embalmed in our divine peace. Never, you're never going to leave it. You will always be part of this image and likeness of God. With this bond of peace, she feels within herself the virtue of becoming the peacemaker between heaven and earth. You want to be a peacemaker for your family, for your neighbors, for your co-workers, for your parishioners, for your nation, for the world, for the church. Everything's going to change. Jesus says, I want you to become a peacemaker. I want you to have peace so reign in your heart that Christ the King, the Prince of Heaven and Earth, Queen of Peace, Mary, Mother and Queen of Heaven and Earth, will be reigning in you. And as you breathe, when you're in your home, it's Jesus and Mary there. It's not you anymore. When you're in your neighborhood, it's Jesus and Mary there, not you. They become the king and queen of your life, the new Adam and the new Eve of your life. This is what God is asking. This is what God is waiting for. He says very clearly, with this bond of peace, she feels within herself the virtue of becoming the peacemaker between heaven and earth. Everything is peace within her. What does Our Lady say to her apparitions? True peace must begin in your heart. You want peace in the world? It's got to reign here. That's Jesus. That's Mary. That's the new Adam. That's the new Eve. Who possesses this gift? Luisa. She possesses it. Little Luisa possesses it. God bless Luisa. Okay, so it says, everything is peace within her. Peaceful are her words, peaceful the glances, peaceful the movements. Oh, how many times with one word she places peace between us, triune God, and the creature. Now, if you get upset, go to the letters of Luisa. Go to the letters of Luisa. Listen to Luisa. She's so simple, so beautiful, so pure in her words. Why? Jesus is there. Mary is there. If you're upset, I can guarantee you, you haven't been reading the Book of Heaven. If you're reading the Book of Heaven, you can't get upset about anything. Jesus is in charge. Jesus is breathing in your breathing. How can you be upset? Jesus is walking in your walking. How can you be upset? With one single glance from Luisa, sweet and peaceful, wounds us, triune God, makes us, triune God, turn chastisements into graces. That's what's going to happen in your families. That's going to happen in your communities. That's what's going to happen in our nations. That's what's going to happen in the world. Everything's going to change. The kingdom is coming. It's not far away. Jesus says you're close. 2,000 years ago, you're close to the kingdom. It's close at hand in you. Now it's here because of Luisa. Jesus has got great things happening. He says very clearly. He says, so her acts are nothing other than bonds of peace, the peaceful messengers that bring the kiss of peace of the creatures back to God. This is the wedding feast. The kiss of God to the creatures. It's the wedding feast. It's begun. Furthermore, the more the creatures who live in our divine world, the more the soul becomes deeply into our divine family, acquiring our modes and receiving our divine secrets. That's what he says. When you read volume 17, May 4th, 1925, Jesus says to Louisa, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you divine secrets, divine treasures that have been hidden from the beginning of time. This is not a new revelation of the apostles. This is sanctification. It's not, there's nothing new here. This is what Adam knew before the fall. It's to go back to where we were in the beginning, to go back to the womb of the Father. That's what's coming. Receiving our secrets. The more she looks like us, Triune God, we love her. We love each other more, and she puts us in the condition of giving her always new graces, new loves, new surprises. Why? We're back in the image and likeness of God. Do you see what this gift is? It's not about being good and holy and saintly. That's volume 1 through volume 10. It's not just living in the divine will that God only spoke to Louisa about, volume 11 through volume 19. It's going back to receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. This is great. We keep Louisa in our home as a member of our family, and we are linked to Louisa. What God gives to her, he says, I will give to each and every one of the little children the holy divine will. She eats at our table. She sleeps on our knees. We just cannot live without Louisa. I remember reading that first time in volume 12. Jesus said to Louisa, I, God, cannot live without you. I went, if you can't live without her, what about us? Can we live without Louisa? He says it again in volume 36. We, Triune God, just cannot live without Louisa. Our will ties Louisa so much to us, feeling Louisa love and attraction, that we, Triune God, cannot be without her, nor she without us. That's the divine will. That's what God's plan for us. And all he's asking of us is that we give our fiat, simple, and then just keep on reading, keep on studying. And the more truths that you read, the more knowledges that you're given, the more God's manifesting this to you, the more promises that you read, the happier you're going to be. So I end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray for all the little children of the holy divine will to be divinely healed. We pray this prayer and we pray that it becomes God's command. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll talk to you next month.